Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our special Bible Basics study titled Repentance Unto Salvation. This is part 2 of 2. Even in verse 29 it says, "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." And you can go to any Catholic church and see what that's talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Joyce, make a note. Bring that up today if you go to lunch. Why are you defying God's word there, Father so-and-so? The Bible says to stop doing what you're doing over there in your groves and with your big statues in your churches and everything.
Amen.
Idolatry is a what?
Sin.
Repent of your what?
Sin.
Amen. That's in the context that he says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Repent of what?
Sin.
Idolatry is what?
Sin.
False religion is what?
Sin.
Self-worship is what?
Sin.
Unbelief is?
Sin.
Amen. By the false definition of the antinomian crowd, Paul preached a works gospel, which he did not. Antinomian is a big word, but it just means without law. People are out there preaching that the law has nothing to do with salvation. I had a guy last week try to lecture me on how to preach that Gentiles broke the law is ridiculous. The law is for the Jews. I'm sorry, but there was law before Moses. There was law before Jacob, who's the patriarch of Israel. There was law when Abraham and before Abraham. There was law during Noah's day. There was law in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Yep.
The question is, which law are you talking about? But there's been law since the Garden.
Amen.
And Gentiles in the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 1, but in 2 and 5 and other chapters, discusses the fact that even without the Mosaic law before their face, Gentiles all have the witness and they know that there is a moral law. That's why even outside, even among atheists, you try to sleep with their spouse and see what that atheist says.
Amen.
You try to reach in their pocket and just take that billfold out of their pocket and say, I need $40. What's your name? It doesn't matter. This ain't a sin. There's nothing wrong with it, right? You don't believe? No, that is wrong. Wait a minute. You're an atheist. You're not supposed to believe in moral absolutes.
Right.
See how insane that is? Gentiles have the law in creation and in their hearts. They know what the law is. They know. So that's the antinomian crowd who tries to say that, you know, there's no law in the Gentiles and they didn't have the law to begin with, and you shouldn't preach repentance of sin. You should just tell them to believe the facts of the gospel. Well, Acts 26:20, Paul preached, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should what?
Repent.
And turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Heresy! Heretic! You just added works to salvation. No, he didn't. He added repentance, which isn't a work. And the repentance will result in works.
Amen.
Meet for repentance. And if they don't, God will deal with you if you're really saved. Amen. It's real simple, isn't it?
Amen.
Here's what antinomians are really preaching. And I'm not going to name names because, you know, there's some guys who are kind of borderline on this and others who are blatant on it. But you should just recognize it. Use your Acts 17:11 superpowers. Test them by the Word of God and you'll hear it. There's no need to repent. This is what they ought to stand out on the streets and preach this, because this is what they believe. There's no need to repent. You can sin. Love your sin. Keep on sinning and still be saved. Ain't that a bargain? Just acknowledge the gospel and say a little prayer with me, and you can get this get out of hell free card. That's what they're preaching. That's why their churches are filled with unbelievers.
Yes.
That's why their churches are filled with sodomites.
Yes.
Today. You're preaching a gospel that says sin doesn't matter. God's just some big, chubby, bearded, soft heart up in the clouds. And he's just looking down saying, "Oh, boys will be boys. Girls will be girls." That's the God that they've created in their minds. And they will not preach against sin and they will not tell sinners to repent. They'll just say, here's your get out of hell free card, and they'll have their address and information on the back so that when you come to church, they'll get your money. Almost all these guys major on size of their churches and influence because of the money they have. They will not admit it to you, but they don't care about your soul. They only want to build their own ministry up like it's a franchise, so they have bragging rights.
Yeah.
Every one of these guys, that's what they're all about. Here's an example. If you don't believe me, I can show you dozens of examples this morning. But I'll show you this one.
He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead,
it sounds good.
The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. It doesn't say you hopefully will be saved. God says, I will save you if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Amen.
Notice you don't have to go to church.
Oh, nope.
Doesn't say you have to get baptized.
Nope.
Doesn't say you have to repent of your sins.
Oh.
Doesn't say you have to do anything.
So
you can ask him to save you.
You see how that works?
If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins,
that's all you have to do.
From the grave, he wants to give you a gift that's eternal life.
That's it.
So why don't you just confess with your mouth right now? I'd like to help you form a prayer.
Let's say a little prayer. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I want you to do a little spiritual exercise today. And Sister Joyce works over at Ace Hardware over there. And they could use your business. Go over to Ace Hardware and ask to see the decon. The rat killer, the mice killer, whatever it is. The meese killer, when there are more than one mice. And go get that decon and look at the ingredients. Well, buy it first. Buy it. Those of you who don't, you know, just buy it. And then go home and read the ingredients. You will see that 99.99% of that is harmless.
That's right.
I'm not kidding.
Inert.
It's that 0.01% that gets you. Sprinkle that on your oatmeal and eat it, and we'll never see you in the flesh again. That's what you just got from this guy at the end of a movie that was put out by InfoWars and Alex Jones called New World Bible Versions, or New World Order Bible Versions. And at the end of that video, after the credits, which is kind of weird, a lot of people turn it off at the credits, so a lot of people didn't even see that. But the ones who did stick around, that's what they got. Telling all the info warriors and all the patriots and truthers out there, you can be saved, and it doesn't matter what your sin is. You just go ahead and keep on sinning and doing your own thing. And these guys come back and say, we never said that. No, you didn't come out and overtly said it. You said it in the words, you don't have to repent of your sin.
Yeah.
It's a soft sell, watered down gospel that'll get you numbers and influence, and that's what they're all about. But if you care about the person you're preaching to, you wouldn't say that. And that's what it's all about. This castrated gospel is filling churches with unbelievers. And this is the result. This was not scripted. This really happened. Are there two men standing at the pulpit? It's a man proposing to another man in the church. Listen to that response. There's two men and one man proposing to the other in the church, and listen to that response. He said yes. And they're panning the members. Look at them. All of them on their feet. Can you imagine if that If I had two men or two women coming in here and they said, we would like to address the congregation as a couple, and then while they're up here, one proposes to the other, would anybody in this room stand and applaud?
No.
Now the pastor in his dress, hugging the... That's going on. Folks, this is going on all over the country. This is going on all over the world. This particular church is United Methodist. The Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, in all the mainline Episcopal and all of them, they're all embracing Sodom, and they're all going along with this because they preach a gospel that is what they call inclusive and does not require a change of heart.
Doesn't that scene remind you of Star Wars 3?
No.
This is how democracy is lost.
No, it's probably a good example, but what it reminds me of is Lot. It reminds me of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus said, it will be as it was in the days of Lot. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah. That was not, again, that was not staged. That really happened, and I'm telling you, it's happening all over the country, and it's happening. The first president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Folks, in the world today, if you say the word Southern Baptist, the first thing people think is right-wing fundamentalist, you know. The church that was pastored by the first president of the Southern Baptist Convention, I believe it's First Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, I believe is the name of the church. They just announced they will now accept homosexuals as members and be doing weddings in the church. Amen. You know why that Southern Baptist Church is doing that? Because they preached a gospel without repentance. And they have filled their churches, the pews are filled with people who have not repented toward God, and they've only believed, if they've believed, the facts of the gospel. Just like the devils.
Yep, that's right.
The devils know Jesus is the Son of God. The devils know that Jesus died on the cross. The devils know He rose again. The devils know He ascended to heaven, and they're fighting like hell right now because they know He's coming back. And they're still going to hell.
Amen.
Because there is no repentance. And those churches, you people down in Greenville, you people at this United Methodist Church, you're going to hell.
Amen.
That's it.
You had better repent toward God and believing in the biblical sense of the word. A gospel that does not include repentance of all that you are, all of your sin, all that you believe in submission to the gospel and the word of God is a satanic gospel that is producing the apostasy we see today. Largely coming from the new versions. That's where this gospel's coming from. What did they want to do to Paul as he preached repentance of their favorite sin? For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And that's exactly what they're going to want to do to you. Those who preach repentance of sin and preach hard against sin will become targets of the fake preachers and apostates.
Amen.
Listen, folks, I'm fully aware that most preachers in this county know me. And they think I'm a kook. And they tell people we're a cult. Thank you very much.
Amen.
I want nothing to do with your cult. I want nothing to do with your Vatican versions. I want nothing to do with your fake gospel. I want nothing to do with your fake churches filled up with unbelievers who think they're eternally secure because they said a prayer without repentance.
Amen.
Call me what you will. I want nothing to do with you. And I'm going to stand right there and look at you when you face Jesus Christ, preacher. And that's what I live for, folks. You wonder why I don't give a flip what these preachers around here think of me? Because I live for the day we all stand before Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That preacher doesn't give a flip about Jesus Christ or the day of judgment. He's living for the here and now. He's a child of the flesh. And when he stands before Jesus Christ, if he's saved, when he stands before Jesus Christ, he's going to see that big church with his big budget burn like hell right there in front of his face.
Amen.
And yes, this is going on the radio.
Amen. Amen.
Question, is believing enough?
Yes.
And biblical belief is defined by repentance toward God from all you are, have done, and have believed that was against God.
Amen.
Biblical belief. It's an acknowledgement of the truth of the gospel, recognizing your need as a sinner, repenting of your sin and unbelief, trusting in the gospel to save you, confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart.
Amen.
That's not step by step. That's a dissection of belief.
Amen.
One step, that's dissection of it. You're one person. I could cut you open and we could set out the heart over here and the liver over there and the kidney over there. I'm not threatening. I'm just saying. That would be you. We would just be looking at your innards. You're looking at the innards of the belief that saves.
Amen.
But it's just belief.
Amen.
And if it's not that, it's not true belief. You believed in vain.
That's right.
Amen. All of this happens simultaneously in the heart of the true believer. We are breaking it down simply to repair the breach caused by false teachers. That's why you got to break it down. In closing, I want to remind you that the gospel message is clear and sin is the separator. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." According to the false teachers, He didn't die for your sins. He just died for your unbelief.
Amen.
The gospel says He died for your sins, which includes unbelief.
Amen. That's right. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, conquering your sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Which includes your unbelief.
Yes.
It really is that simple. But it is also exact. Christ died for our sins. Repent or perish.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that a happy, clappy message? But don't get carried away with the crowd here. We had a lot of amen and a lot of clapping, but if you haven't got this right, this is between you and God, not the congregation and God.
Amen.
How about, did you just say, "Oh, I believe the gospel. Well, I say a little prayer. I'm saying," no. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You had better make your calling and election sure. You had better examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. What's your attitude about sin?
Amen.
Did you repent toward God and have that attitude, that heart, where you saw what was wrong with what you are, with who you are, what you believed, what you did? It's all wrong. And turning toward God, no, you didn't become sinlessly perfect, and you never will in this life. But it's all about this heart attitude.
Amen.
And that makes you then like clay in the potter's hands. And some of you may say, "You know, I've been saved for a long time, but God's not really molding. I don't see the hand of God molding." That's because you've got an attitude problem. You see, repentance begins when you're saved and never stops. The Christian life, listen to me, the Christian life is a life of repentance.
Amen.
Some of you think you already know everything, and I don't know which one of you are. But some of you, in a room this size, it's probably very easily true that some of you think you've already arrived. And when someone tries to tell you the truth about something from the Bible, you just close it. That's why you're not being molded into the image that God wants you to be molded in. It all starts right here. Repent. Repent. What is it that's hindering your walk with God? Repent. And I can't tell you that. I wouldn't dare try. This is just between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only, you know it by, you open the book, and the book will tell you personally. That's why you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You open that book, and as you read that book with faith, He will show you those areas of your life you need to repent. And the very moment you think you've arrived, you realize you haven't.
Amen.
Until you hear the trumpet. That's when you arrive. That's when you arrive.
Amen.
The trumpet blast, and you've arrived. I'm going to take a glory cloud. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank you for the truth of the Scripture. And while it angers us to see the false preachers and the false gospels and the false churches and all that we mentioned, we love those people and pray that they'll repent. We love them enough to tell them the truth. We don't dare want to see anybody in hell or anybody destroying their inheritance, tearing down their own building with their own hands. And so all we can do is preach the truth and take a stand, come what may. I pray that everyone in this room is truly saved. And if they're saved, they're saved. Nothing can take that away. And we're so thankful for that promise. Make us a people who are repenting. Always ready and willing to repent. Anytime you show us something in our lives that needs to change. And we do that for the glory of Jesus Christ. If we have any other motive, Lord, help us to repent of that. We want Jesus to be glorified. We want Jesus to be the one that the world looks to. And we can't wait to be part of the crowd looking at Jesus and singing His praise. The crucified, buried, risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. And be gracious.
To have balance. You can only be saved because you understand you're lost. Amen? And that is, if you turn on Oprah or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or whoever on TV to get your wisdom, bad move. Every one of those people reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ask them. Write them a letter. Because people get their counsel from the ungodly. Then you can say anything these days, it seems like you can say that is true, and you will be attacked for it. And I'm just talking about the Christians. The professing Christians will be the ones attacked. But if you will go to this book, you'll find it is life-changing. Holding a book, owning a Bible. I mean, I know people who've collected the things, but they don't read them. And I see professing Christians posting their astrological signs and their horoscopes on Facebook. I see them talking about, watching this stuff. They are getting their counsel from the ungodly. I picture it this way. There are a lot of cocky, arrogant scorners who think that when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to put forth a defense. they are not going to stand in the judgment. They will be face down, begging, knowing that they have chosen what's about to happen to them. Amen. And it's too late. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not pump a fist at God. They will not give a defense. They will stand for about a millisecond and then be down, face first, not even able to look at His glory, knowing, what a fool was I. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They will not stand. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins. We are righteous in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. We are righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. And when the Father looks at you, He doesn't look and say, whoa, now that's a specimen there. I should not have broken the mold when I made her. That's not what God says. He looks at you, and if you're in the righteous, the congregation of the righteous, He says, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son. You have nothing to do with it. It's in spite of you. It's in spite of me. And what's it say in verse 6? Read that with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The end. The end. If you're saved, oh, I know it can look rough and you think, where are you, Lord? Trust the book. He says that if you're saved, He's there with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I hate to use the cliches, but you all know the footprints in the sand. There was that time where there was only one set of footprints. I think if I look back at my life, most of the time there's one set. So much of my life, God is the one carrying me. And as far as salvation, there's never anything but one set of footprints. As far as my soul being saved, nothing but one set of footprints. Done. All these trials you're going through, all the troubles you have to suffer, the pains physically, emotionally, whatever it is, you're going to not even look back. It'll be such a distant memory. You're going to look at what you have in Christ. And you're going to just bask in His glory. And you're not going to have time or a desire to look back. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and the ungodly will never forget. The ungodly who reject the blood atonement of Jesus Christ will burn in an everlasting lake of fire. Their torment will rise. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Those people who have been overcome by their lust, their greed, their self-centeredness and all that, they will continue to be overcome by it through eternity. And their way here on earth that they're walking, that they think is so smart, it will perish. We can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb and know that we have been saved.